Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. I love the Lord on this glorious day that the Lord blessed me to wake up on. I love Him. The Holy Spirit is mightily moving by His Spirit, putting together plans. He is the best strategist I ever seen. And when I don't say that lightly. When the Lord have included me on some things that He's doing, and He'll have me to do so. I don't know all the details, but over time, you begin to see the results of what God is up to. And I thank God for all that He helped me understand. I love to learn. I love to learn from Him, too. And I love the way He uses His people uniquely. And I love the way I love His order. And God thinks of everything. He's very thorough in all of His thoughts. And the more I trust Him, the more I desire to trust Him. I remember when I was scared to trust Him. I remember, I'm being honest, He told me to do something, I was very reluctant. But I made a vow, and I talked about that vow in many other broadcasts, but sometimes people may hear a broadcast the first time, so they don't know me, they don't know how things have developed. There's about a story behind everything I ever learned from the Lord. And when I made that vow, I said, Lord, I'm going to trust You. And He told me something that would help me in business. And it helped me to be more organized. I could see that it would work. The wisdom was perfect. And I said, Lord, why didn't You tell me that a long time ago? I said, I could have avoided a lot of mistakes. And He told me something that just really changed my course. It changed my course. He said, when a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn My ways. And I'm like, wait a minute, what else am I missing out on? And I was so happy that He gave me wisdom that would definitely put me over. I said, Lord, I'm going to trust You. Whatever You say, I'm going to do it. Whether I love it, hate it, or don't like it, I'm going to do it anyway. And so, and He remembered that. So then years later, as He gave me things to do, I said, wait a minute, I told the Lord I'd obey Him. He told me to do something, I got to do it. And I pressed the issue. In other words, if He told me to do something and that I would have normally been reluctant on because I had a very shy or quiet personality anyway, I didn't know how to start a conversation sometimes, and He would tell me, give me words for people. I didn't know that was going to happen, so how could I know it? But I told Him I'd obey Him, so I had to make that good. So I would dig deep. I would get in the Word. If it was all, I would pray in the Holy Spirit. If it was a spontaneous something to do, I would just, He said, go tell this person this or that, and I could feel the butterflies, you know. And God don't give us the spirit of fear. That's not of God. Satan's been lying to people. Don't ever be afraid to trust God. When you know it's your Father talking, relax in it. All you have to do is be here. As you approach the person to tell them whatever God said or do whatever God wants you to do, there's a peace and there's wisdom with you because He's with you. And I learned that over time. But I would actually pray in the Holy Spirit, and then, you know, a lot of preachers, before they preach, they'll go in the back and pray in the Holy Spirit, and then they come out charged. So I did whatever I had to do to come out charged, and then I'd obey Him, and then I found out it works. There was no monster. There was nothing to be afraid of. All that was just an assault on my mind. You know, the enemy giving you poisonous thoughts. That's why trusting God can take you forward. When you trust God, you rise above. Like that song Phil Driscoll sang years ago, rising above it all. We can rise above all things. You know, we keep rising above it all. You know, I can't sing like him. It was a beautiful song. I used to listen to it. And there was a time, that was the only cassette tape I had. And I listened to all of his songs, and it really charged me forward. the songs of Phil Driscoll charged me forward. And, you know, I love the Lord. His timing is perfect. Now, he wants, he's moving by spirit, and he never stopped. God is doing everything possible to get as many people possible as say. He raises up people for people, and he encourages people and blesses people that he trusts with his heritage. See, anybody that's about to get saved, they're going to be his heritage. And he sends his best. So be your best. Fight the good fight of faith. I was just reading the writings of Paul, searching for a scripture. And I kind of covered all the way from 1 Thessalonians all the way to Titus. And other scriptures. Looking for a scripture. And I was blessed just doing that. But anyway, I've been talking about some interesting things about balance. And I'll start by reading balance because I'm going somewhere with this. The Lord, it started last week. On Monday, the Lord gave me an assignment. Now, that broadcast was not just a broadcast. It was an assignment. And it's called My Response. That's God talking first person. He's talking about his response. And many, he said to me on, it was a Saturday night. I went to bed Saturday night. And he said, I have to, he told me about this assignment that he wanted me to do. He said, many people have been praying for people. They're people. Because they know that they know the Lord's going to return. And they're praying for their unsaved loved ones. And he said, I have to give a response. Their prayers avail much. And it's good for, see, we need to be praying for our people while we can. But there are those that have hardened their hearts. And God's going to have to judge them. So he gave me that assignment. And it explains his response. And I want to share more things about that. But first I'm going to, he gave me his definition of balance, and I'm going to start with it because these things are very important to know. The enemy, he knows how we think. He tempts us to think a certain way and have certain opinions. Some of them are not something God can sanction. Sometimes it looks good, and sometimes it's not good. Things can look right and not be right. Now, where I'm going with this is how things develop into what they are. You could trace some sins in the Old Testament back to one person. Some trains of thoughts that's modern thoughts right now, it can be traced back to a single act, a person, one person. A good example is Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. You know, he put a golden calf or an idol calf in Bethel and also in Dan. Now you notice in the Revelation, you don't see the tribe of Dan. Dan is replaced with Manasseh. So, but that's where he put those two idols. And he was afraid. He was acting on fear and Egyptian witchcraft, which he learned from Egypt. He said, "Why you can worship this calf. You don't have to go to Judea. You know, to Jerusalem, I mean. You don't have to go to Jerusalem." Because he was afraid the people would turn on him. And he loved power more than God. See, that's the leaven of Herod. Herod loves power. The leaven of the Pharisees love praise. Herod loves power. Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. So I said, what's the difference? What is the leaven of the Pharisees and the And how does it differ from the leaven of Herod? The Lord said, Pharisees love praise, Herod loves power, and Satan loves both. That's how he answered me. So, but you can trace this debauchery to him because every king of Israel sinned, even Jehu sinned after the pattern of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. All of the kings of Israel, they went into captivity early. Then the kingdom of Judah. You can follow these patterns. Now, Judah really got off track when Jehoshaphat's son married Ahab's daughter. That's when they started going down. So you can trace a lot of things that's going on by a single event. Now, I don't say these things lightly. The Lord had me studying 1 Samuel all the way to 2 Chronicles for about 3 months. That's all I listened to. And I started seeing patterns. That's how I learned it. And once God shows you something, you see, if you walk in the love of God, it's so easy to receive from Him. And there are facts that many people may not know about. Now, I don't like to say people don't know. I don't know what people know. But I know what He revealed to me. And from my end, it seemed like people don't know some of these things. And I understand that there's so much to know. Every time I listen to any man of God, I learn something I didn't know. Because there's so much to know. And I thank God for the Holy Spirit that He's raising people up to learn. So every time I listen to a man of God, I said, I wouldn't have never saw it that way. Thank God. I thank God for the body. Some people go home to be with the Lord early and they get sick because they don't recognize the body. The gifts. You know, every time I see a brother or sister, I'm looking at a gift. Now, if they yield to the Lord, they can learn things that'll charge me up, that'll bless me and put me over. And I know this. If they will. Sometime they will, sometime they won't. But they can. Every child of God can do this. You don't have to be an apostle or a prophet or an evangelist, a pastor or a teacher. You just got to love God and you can learn something. Now, balance. The enemy is always trying to get us out of balance. And then when he does, that's when he can do his works. He can get people. Sometimes he can leaven people. Now, leaven is sin. Now, I'm not talking about the examples of natural leaven. You know, Jesus, in his parables, he used leaven to represent sin. And he said the word operates also like leaven. But there's a difference. The sin is invasive. It corrodes. It's like cancer. It destroys as it goes. But the word of God, it works like leaven too, only in a good heart. It can't work in an evil heart. Only in a good heart. It can't work in a distracted heart. It can't do its purpose, its full purpose in a distracted heart. Like the heart that, like the soil that was, seed that was sown among thorns. And it can't work in a rocky heart. A stony heart, because it can't grow deep roots. You know, only a good heart can the word operate as leaven, and the way it does it, it gives you light. And because you treasure it, you grab a hold of it, and the roots grow deep. You speak it over your life. When you speak the word of God in your life, the roots of the word grow deeper every time you speak it by faith. You're starting a process, a good process. Every time you speak the word over yourself, the roots grow deep. Your dedication becomes strong. You become relentless in that thing. Now, I talk about things that I've been through and how God gave me insights. Well, the reason it worked for me is because I was so desperate to have it and so dedicated and determined, all of it. And I was relentless about what I was learning. That when God showed me, you know, how to conquer lust, for instance, He said, love the people that's trying to tempt you. I was so hungry for that knowledge that the roots went deep and it worked. And then He said, don't fear failure. And that broke it. That severed the whole thing. Temptation was never a problem after that moment. And that was way back in the summer of 1988. So I could live free since that time. The roots went deep. I wanted to, when you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you'll be filled because the roots grow deep. And Christ is formed in you. And you just, that's why when when you're born of God, that's the process of being born of God. And when you're born of God, you can't sin. Some people say, wait a minute, now, you can't say you don't have sin. John said, don't. That's not what he meant. When Christ is formed in you, he also said, you can't sin. You're of God. You're charged by God. You're not going. You don't just go, hey, I'm not. I think I'm gonna sin today. That don't happen. Not on purpose. If something, you know, you have to be leavened, and you have to have a leaven of hatred to sin again. But when you fill your heart with the love of God, you just can't do it. Now this is. He gave me this about balance. When you're balanced, you can always learn, always overcome, always prosper, always do everything. Even in a strait, you'll come out of it. Paul said, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. If you stay balanced, you can abound. And if you stay balanced, you know how to be abased. You don't get shaken over every disturbance. There are disturbances. There are things that get by us. But you know how to build back anyway, you know. Paul made tents. Sometime he got robbed. Then he had to go make money again to finance his ministry. See, Gentiles didn't pay tithes in those days. They were still learning. In the beginning of his ministry, they didn't give. Toward the end of his ministry, they did. He even helped out the Jews. So, you know, ministry is a process. And whatever stage you're in, you have to do things you may not, you know, you do what you have to do at every stage. Okay, as long as you're balanced, you'll fit the balance. Now, balance, the Lord's response to me, his definition of balance. He said, balance is determined sincerity. Balance is determined sincerity to the love of God, the holiness of God, and the wisdom of God, saith the Lord. That's what balance is. It's determined sincerity to the love of God, the holiness of God, and the wisdom of God. In every decision, a balanced man regards all three. Whether he mechanically does it or that's his flow. That's his normal routine. He's regarding, is this wise? Is this holy? He may not say, you know, call it out like that in his mind, but that's his flow because he's balanced. And some people may not know that, and they're still balanced. it's their normal routine to operate in the love of God, to live a pure life, and to be wise. Now, those are the three elements you got to have to be balanced. And then your faith can work. The Word gives us the faith we need. And the faith, the Word of God is charged with all three. So people may do... Some people may do these things much better than others that don't know these things because they love God so much. The love of God, you know, for years, I didn't know how to put I didn't know this definition the last week, but I was able to live balanced in certain areas anyway. And some more than others. Okay, he said, balance is determined sincerity to the love of God, the holiness of God, and the wisdom of God, saith the Lord. Perfect balanced. he said, I didn't know he was going to say this. He said, perfect balance is relentless sincerity. Now, that's just sincerity that don't change. It's one thing to have determined sincerity. It's even better. It's perfect to have relentless sincerity. You will find a way to do what you got to do no matter what. They put Paul in jail. The devil thought, I got him now. He can't preach. He wrote letters. See, now, you know, after a few centuries, he scratches his head. I should have left him. I shouldn't have put him in jail. He could have went and preached. He wouldn't have had these letters building people up. But see, Satan don't think of everything. Not that he didn't have power over Paul like he thought anyway. And Paul went to jail mostly because he went to the Jews. So, you know, Satan is not as perfect as he puffed himself up to be. Okay, anyway, let's track with this again. He said, perfect balance is relentless sincerity. It's steadfast and unmovable. and never changes. Proud men can never be balanced. Now, that's what I wanted to get to today. Now, this is a problem. Proud men can never be balanced. Value it or appreciate it. This means it's impossible for some people to come back to balance. Now, I studied the Word of God a long time, and people that were proud in their heart never repent. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, it pointed out when he made his statements, his satanic statements, he lost his mind. But the Word pointed out that he was lifted up in his mind, not his heart. He was lifted up in his mind. Now, Herod said the same thing, basically, and he was eating the worms. So Herod said it from the heart. He got the full judgment and died. But I believe that anyway. But I know Nebuchadnezzar came back to balance. Because he didn't fear the people. Because Satan was trying to get him to fear the people, then get the people to fear him. So they had 7 years without him. Daniel was running everything according to the guidance that he had, the protocols he had. And I believe that. and Nebuchadnezzar came back, but he didn't fear the people anymore. And he didn't charge God falsely anymore. He had his mind right. But others that operated in pride, Saul died at the hands of an Amalekite. And he had been anointed by the prophet. See, people, even though people can be anointed, that don't mean that they'll stay in balance. And that's why Hebrews 6, to win them back is impossible. Once people get pride in their heart, they don't come back. Their heart gets harder and harder. They become leavened. And that's the sin they serve. Now, people come out of lust. They come out of greed. If they don't let it get out of hand. But pride, I mean, you may have read something I didn't. Just note that somebody that was proud in their heart, and then they come back. Now, I'll tell you this. Benadad, he sent out to the prophet to see if he was going to live. He had been a bitter enemy against Israel. But see, a proud man, and the prophet said, "You won't live," but the man that he sent to ask the prophet killed him. And the prophet saw this. But I'm looking for people that was in pride like this, and then they come back to it. I just hadn't seen it yet. Unless I overlooked it. These proud men can never be balanced. The Lord used the word never. Now, this is a word that I received from, I believe it, just like it's scripture. Because if it comes from the Holy Spirit, it is scripture. And when God gives you something, you look at it. Follow the peace. Proud men can never be balanced. Value it or appreciate it. So, in our mind, we believe the pure, to the pure, all men, all are pure. Now, that's not true, but that's how it seems. And to those that are defiled and unbelieving, Paul wrote to Titus, it's nothing pure. Nobody's pure. Nothing's pure in their eyes. That's not true either. But see, to the proud mind, they can never be balanced. They can never value. Break it down this way: the love of God, the holiness of God, or the wisdom of God. You tell people about you want to turn the water off, talk about the love of God. And that's when the conversation gets cut short more than anything else. And following God. Some people know they're not going to follow God. They're going to do things their way. They got their opinions. They're convinced. But you tell the right people, you're going to have a 3-hour conversation. The wrong people, you're going to have a 2-minute conversation. but the right people are going to embrace these things. Proud men can never be balanced, value it, or appreciate it. They are enemies to my balance, saith the Lord. Their focus is within, and it is a worldly view. And then I had some examples of pride and fear, you know, 1 Samuel 8:12 and Jeremiah 38:19. Now, I want to point out something. How do people become false prophets? How do people become false? They used to know God. Now watch what Peter said. This is 2 Peter 2. And this is what I was trying to find. But I thought Paul said it. He said, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Among you. Among you. These are people that Peter commonly writes to. See, I'm going to read it again. But there shall be false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. You see that? The Lord that bought them, so they were saved at one point. And bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, tares are out there in the wide world. They're the devil's children. But the sneaky ones are the ones among the sheep. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. That's how they got a foothold. And they brought it in privately while nobody was watching. They do just like the lions and tigers in the wild. They prey on the weak and the feeble, the slowest of the herd. They don't go get the big strong daddy wildebeest. They get the baby wildebeest. You know, they don't get the wild daddy wildebeest and try to drag him down. They get the one that they can catch. The younglings, the young ones, or the ones that's wounded. And many shall follow their pernicious way. Now that's a bigger problem. See, the fruit that comes up out of them. Their influence, the people that come out of their influence. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not. And they know how to hide. Now they can fool us. They speak Christianese. They can. And the problem is, God know who they are. Now, I noticed something. 2 Peter 2 is following a thought. It said, but prophecy came not in old time. This is 1 Peter 1, verse 21. Let me go back to 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of this scripture is of any private interpretation. Well, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And verse 1 in chapter 2 continues, but there were false prophets also among the people. You see that? Let me do that again. But the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but by holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But there were false prophets also among the people in those days, even as there shall be false teachers among you in these days. See, that's the wrong place to put a chapter. In the middle of a thought, they put a chapter, okay? So you know God didn't do it that way. That's imperfect. Okay, anyway. There's false teachers among you who privately will bring in damnable heresies. This is going to happen. This is how it happens. Let's look at some. And it goes on and give you more of their ways. And Jude had to deal with the same problem. Now these, you know, of course, Peter's ready to be offered to the Lord. He's ready to go on to be with the Lord when he wrote this. Now, let's look at what happened in the book of Acts. See, to the pure, everybody's pure. So we don't want to believe the worst about people. But God is looking right at it. He knows what's happening. And God knows what to do about it. And there was a man. All right. Here it is. Simon the sorcerer. Okay. In Acts chapter 8. It says, all right. Philip went down. Verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many were taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. And there was a great joy in that city, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the city came, used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, even saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. Now watch this. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John.